Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? The sun come out. No more gray coming through the windows. No storms. It rained. Good things happened all week long. We're all here today. It's a good thing. Let's see. Let's start with our handout. The call to worship here is, Precious Lord, take my hand. Let's stand, please. Oh, we got it up there anyway, yeah. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, buddy. We're disorganized, but we love each other. That's all that matters. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Heavenly Father, thank you for our church. Thank you that our doors are open today. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you for just keeping us, Lord, your daily provision. Lord, we don't need nothing with you. Thank you, Lord, that you're here today. Our pastor's here too. Lord, I just ask for a great day in your house as we listen. Lord, grant pastor the power he needs today that will deliver your message, that it might be heard by someone today, Lord, that needs you in some way. May that person get right, Lord. And I just pray for our nation, Lord. Thank you so much for it. Help us, Lord, as Christians, as we leave the building today, to continue to lead that life, that example that you give us, that people would see you in us, that they'd want to know more of you. Lord, help us to spread your love just a little bit today. Thank you so much for this time. Be with us all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, page 16, please. Page 16.
Split.
Let's see, is Jason here today? Or is it my turn to read? He was here. Well, he's back at the door. I better do it. Here we go. Let's see. Announcements we have. Don't forget our evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. Got our book study started already. We're going on with that. Our Wilton Bible study is the 28th at 6 o'clock in the evening. Iron Sharpens Iron is going to meet on May on the 7th and the 21st. You want to take over from here? Here we go.
I can.
That's okay. Thank you, Jason.
All right. Thank you, Lonnie. Sorry, I was back there with getting the door. All right. Amen. So where do we leave off here? Wilton Bible study. Okay. Women's Bible study. 7th and 21st. Wilton Bible study. May 12th and 26th. And once again, that is over at the Wilton Presbyterian Church down in the basement. And the next fellowship will be June. Kitchen team will be Sharon and whoever would like to help. Kim Sharon and whoever would like to help. So please, once again, if you're available and you can, and God's leading you to lend a hand, please contact them and get in on that. Pastor's thought for the week. Take the axe you have to grind and lay it at the base of the tree, the cross. And the pastor did give me another card here to read, some announcements. And let me see here. We have a card from Rose, which I'll go ahead and read. To my Fruitland family, thank you all so much for the cards, visits, and prayers for me. And Chrissy, may the Lord bless you and keep you all healthy. With Christian love, Rose. And I'll go ahead and put that on the bulletin in just a few minutes. Let me see. A quick business meeting following the AM service. So stay in your seats here after the AM service if you're a member. And tonight here, let's see, 5 p.m. That's before the evening service, of course. And about possible resurrection of the men's retreat for this fall. Or maybe a revival of that retreat, you can say. VBS meeting next Sunday p.m. And by the way, next Sunday p.m., even though we'll be doing a book study tonight, next Sunday we'll actually not do the book study and we'll do our communion and hear a little bit of the Word of God from Pastor John. VBS next Sunday p.m. meeting, that's what I just said. And thank you very much. And by the way, good morning. Sorry I came a little late there. And thanks again for Lonnie for covering that. And may I have the usher step forward for a time of offering, please? Let's pray. Lord, our Father, again, we come before you this day, Lord, and we thank you so much that you've allowed us to gather together as a Christian family, Lord, in your name. And we thank you, God, that you promise us that whenever two or three are gathered in your name, that you will be there among us, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and that you love us so much, God, that once again that you have indwelt all those that believe and trust in you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you take care of us each and every day, that you provide for our needs, big and small, no matter what those be, Lord God, that you work your will in our lives. And we pray, God, that you will help us to seek your will in all things, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, today as we have an opportunity to give back to you from the great abundance you've given us, we pray, Lord, that you will bless the gift and giver. We thank you, God, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think Olive's going to sing special today. Oh, ladies group. Okay, thank you. Let's see. Doug's going to come now and read for us. Doug had a procedure done. He's got enough metal in him now. Probably set off most metal detectors. But he's here with us today because of the grace of God.
Praise the Lord. Getting more and more like the $6 million. Well, it's probably $12 million now. $12 million man. We're going to read individual verses, several references here, so not just one passage. Proverbs 14:10 is the first one. It turned here. Proverbs 14:10. And the heart knoweth its own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with its joy. Then in the New Testament, Romans 12 and verse 19. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place upon wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Then sneak over to Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll read 17 through 19 here. 17 through 19, chapter 3 of Ephesians. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then over to the next chapter 4, verse 32. 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Wow, those verses have a lot of weight about living the Christian life.
Thank you, Doug. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Good morning to one and all. Trust you're having a good day in the Lord today, a beautiful day God's given us to enjoy his blessings that he has abundantly bestowed. I want to welcome everyone once again. You're always welcome at Fruitland Baptist Church. And I trust that your time here will never be a waste of time, but will be a blessing to you and a benefit to your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. I also want to welcome anyone that may be visiting with us today. We're glad you're here. We're always glad for everyone that comes through these doors. Just a couple things. I think there's one lady's copy and two or three men's copies of the book we're using on Sunday night. Jason correctly illustrated that. We are not abandoning the book, but we will stop for a break on the first Sunday of each month for communion. And we'll be fed on the word revolving around that subject next Sunday night, Lord willing. But we invite you to come tonight at 6 o'clock and join in the discussion. I believe it will also be very profitable for both genders to understand some of the background and how God has worked with us. One other thing I want to clarify before we hit the ground running. We will have a quick business meeting here about an issue. I want you to know this, that everyone is welcome to stay for those meetings unless there are issues like discipline that we'd ever have to deal with. This is not that case. We are not a secret church here. And so you're welcome to hear what we have to bring today. And I don't think anyone really knows all the issues about it, but there is something that came upon Kim and I yesterday that we need to share. So with that in mind, the title of our message is the We Got Took Connection of Ishmael and Esau. Now, you probably wonder what this is all about, but I'll tell you what, it has relevance to everything that's going on in our world today. And nothing is insignificant with the God of the Bible. So let's bow in prayer. Again, welcome. I trust we'll have a good time of fellowship around the Word this morning. Father, we come to you today humbly. We thank you, Lord, for your institution known as the church. It's your representatives, your ambassadors, the called out ones here on earth. Lord, this church does not belong to the people here at Fruitland. This church belongs to you, and it is your church. And Lord, we are privileged to work in your mission field and in your vineyard and in your harvest field. So Lord, help us to be positionally correct as to how we look at that. We know you are the Lord of the harvest. And so I pray today that you'll use the preaching of the word to touch the hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, again, we're thankful for everyone that has come out. We always acknowledge, Lord, and praise you for what a wonderful and awesome God you are. This is the day that you have made, and Lord, we want to rejoice and be glad in it. But Lord, we're also cognizant of the world that we live in. And this world is filled with strife, with difficulties. Lord, this morning, right here in our own community, there are people that are having difficulties, Lord. There are people that need you desperately, and you are very near, but they are very far. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our community, our families, our loved ones, Lord, our associates that we work with on a daily basis, and others that by your providential will we have contact with, that we would be messengers of the gospel and of the light of the world, who is Jesus. So, Lord, we realize there are many of those situations. We know, too, Lord, there are people even here of our number, our flock, who are physically ill today, but others that are spiritually ill. Lord, there could be here people that are brokenhearted, people that are angry. I wouldn't be surprised, Lord, there's some people here that could identify with this title of We Got Took. And all kinds of things that affect the human experience. Today, Lord, I pray you'll superintend over this time that we would understand once again that you supersede all these human feelings and situations. And Lord, that you know where we're at because you went through those things as you bore our sins on Calvary's cross. You are not a Savior who cannot be touched with the infirmities because you experienced those on the cross of Calvary and on the way to it. So, Lord, today I pray you'll bless the preaching. I pray that you'll help this poor fool standing up here in this pulpit. But, Lord, I'm blessed and glad to be a fool for you to preach the word. And so I pray that it'll have free course today, that there'll be a movement of the Spirit in the hearts of those present and those present over the air. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, in my experience, I find the study of interpersonal relationships fascinating. Every person, every soul that's in this room this morning has a story. The Bible says that our lives are lived in Psalm 90 as a tale that is told. We've all had a lot of different things that factor into who we are. And all of our being has to do with relationships. Now we realize that the ultimate relationship is with God the Father through His Son Jesus Christ. And I invite you today, as always, if you're not in a living personal relationship with God the Father through Christ, to go to the Son and place faith and trust in Him alone for the bridge that He built to bring us into fellowship with God the Father. Jesus is the bridge that takes us across the chasm from this world into the next world, over the river or the low spot, the valley that is hell. He's the one that overcame it, and He is the bridge. And I'm thankful for that today. You may consider for a moment the history of your own examples, even those of your direct ancestors, and I believe that you will find some unique and far-ranging impact for good or bad as the results. To put that in straightforward language, think about your family and think about the characters that were in your family and some of the events that have taken place that have made you what you are today and the place that you're in today. You've heard some of my background. I'm not going to give any more, but you know that I come from a long line of characters. And is that right, Mrs. Brown? And those all have had an impact on me, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the background I came from and all the different things that I've experienced. They range, though, as I say, from good to bad in results. But for believers, there is no insignificant detail from these histories as God works providentially behind the scenes as He works and reveals His plan for us. Amen? No accidents there. Many of these histories would have a commonality that revolves around an incident or incidents of where one party was disenfranchised by another, or what I like to label the We Got Took syndrome. Are you all familiar with We Got Took? Give me a quick definition of that. Something, go ahead. Yeah, something that should have gone our way or been in our favor ended up not coming to pass. And it had a great impact, or at least some impact, on our life. And it gives us, what I had up here on the pastor's thought for the week, it gives us a reason to grind our axe. But the fact of the matter is, we need to understand today, folks, we need to lay our axe at the foot of the tree, and that's with a capital T. And that's, the cross, and the tree being Jesus Christ, the green tree that died on the cross for our sins. The We Got Took syndrome. Before I go to the point of the message this morning, I will briefly refer to a famous historical We Got Took in popular U.S. history. Anyone want to guess what I might be going to talk about this morning? Well, here it is, the Hatfields and the McCoys. The feud between the Hatfields and McCoys, two families on either side of the Tug Fork of the Big Sandy River in Kentucky and West Virginia. The McCoys were from Kentucky, the Hatfields from West Virginia, and the feud in its hot form, and what I mean by hot, means, yes, they were shooting and killing one another. I call that pretty hot. In its hot form, it began during the Civil War, which wasn't so civil, in 1863, and it lasted through 1891, and it involved killing and all kinds of mayhem, with the last trial for criminal activity culminating in 1901. Now, I'm not going to give you the whole history of this. You could spend a good part of this day reading about that, but it's an interesting history, how two families got into it, because they both thought that they had gotten taken or mistreated by the other. It involved many We Got Took elements, including land and territory, moonshine, and even a hog. If you don't believe me, look up history. If you are interested, there is a detailed history, but I would recommend investing your time in God's history book, the Bible, which contains several accounts of We Got Took events. with today's message being one of the biggest that continues to this day, that being the supposed disenfranchisement of Ishmael and Esau. Today we're going to focus on the character Ishmael. And there's a big repercussion that came from the thought there that he got took. And the connection also goes between he and Esau, which we'll learn about next week, Lord willing. And the connection between the God of the Bible, Israel, and Satan. So shall we explore that today? You have a note sheet. Does everyone have that this morning? If not, I know an usher will get you one if you raise your hand. So the first point that we're going to be looking at, and these are the scriptures are listed there, and we will be looking in them, is this. Is that Ishmael, the illegitimate firstborn of Abram, who later became Abraham, Genesis 17 is where God changed Abram and Sarai's name to Abraham and Sarah, and Hagar, the Egyptian slave girl of Sarai, who would become Sarah, a product of sin and ignorance, which is lack of faith in God, that got took. So Ishmael and his ancestors have an axe to grind because he was taken. So let's explore that event this morning. This has great relevance to what is going on in our world today. Let's go to Genesis 15, 1 through 7. We got to go to the basics here. And the Bible is full of basics. The Bible is full of history. But God was dealing with a man named Abram from Ur of the Chaldees. And God was intervening in his life, and Abram was a man who by faith trusted the God of the Bible and the interactions he had with him, and did, as God said, by faith, even though he had lapses in that faith. Now let's all come clean here this morning. For those of you that are blood-bought, born-again believers here at Fruitland Baptist Church, I don't believe any of us could raise our hands here legitimately and not say we haven't had a lapse in our faith at times. Probably today, if you really examine your life. Certainly in the last week, we have had times of ups and downs with God. These things do happen. But like all people who have been blood-bought by faith, God still has a plan and he works in those lives to maintain that relationship that we have with him. Well, let's see first of all here what God communicated to Abram at this time in Genesis 15, 1 through 7. And what we're going to find out here is that God gave the possibility for an unconditional covenant. And it really isn't a possibility, it's a fact. Because there's two types of covenants. There's a conditional covenant, and some of you have heard this before, if there's an if in that covenant, it's based on two parties fulfilling both sides of that to see that covenant take place. If there is not an if in that covenant, it is called an unconditional covenant. Did I say that right? Yes. A conditional covenant contains the if. An unconditional covenant says only one party will keep this covenant, and it is a done deal. Let's all face the facts. The God of the Bible keeps his word. The Bible says there is no shadow of turning in God. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What God says will be done. No question about that authority. Thus saith the Lord God. So God made an unconditional covenant with Abraham and Abram and Sarai for an heir. And the heir is a son. And he said, you will have a son. Now realize, as we look at this text, Abram was no young guy. In fact, in the point that we're starting at today, he was 90 years old. We have maybe one person here that's in her 90s today. That is a lengthy life. And when we begin to get over 70, we always understand that our days are what? They're drawing to a close. More than they were a few years back, right? No matter what the case may be. But let's look at the text and let it speak for itself. Genesis 15, verses 1 through 7, and then 17, 7 through 8. And, excuse me, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. By the way, if you're a child of God today, fear not. Fear not. That's the message God gives us. Could I be afraid of things today? Yes. I may even be struggling with fear over some things, something I'm going to share with you later this morning. But God tells me what? Don't fear. And he says that, I believe, 65 times in the Bible. It's either 65 or 365, one for each day, I think it is. He says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. In other words, he says, I'm going to have to go through the next in command of my house through Eliezer to get a son. Sarai and I have been together for many years, and now we are in old age, and it is past the days when we will be able to bear our own natural heir. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. The word of God, a promise. And notice here, Abram believed God and believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Now understand, God set certain boundaries. You can look in the Old Testament and see that he promised to Abraham's, or Abram's in this case, descendants. You remember about the Hatfields and the McCoys. One of the things they got into it over was ground. By the way, I can point to a lot of farm families in this area that got into it and have an axe to grind and got took over land or possessions or you name it. People have dropped the hat to fight over all kinds of issues where they perceived that they got took. Well, there's God's promise. Now, 17, 7 through 8. And again, there's a lot of text in between here. I encourage you to read on your own, but the whole situation is unfolded in the historical account from Scripture for our benefit today. Because in case you didn't get this today, the point of all this is, if you're here today and you are under the we got took syndrome, there is help and hope for you in the Lord. But there's also a warning of what's going on in our world today that will show you why the consequences that are coming and that we have lived with for many years goes back to the we got took syndrome involving Ishmael and later Esau. All right, I got to move. 7 and 8, verse 17. God says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land whereon thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. It sounds to me in God's writing there that he says, Abram, you and your descendants are going to receive a great blessing from me because of your faith that is not conditional on how you or your descendants operate, but is conditional to the fact that I said it and it will come to pass. Aren't you thankful for what God says, that you can take it to the bank today? That's why his word is so important, because it is truth. It is absolute truth. God's word is good. You know, my word is not always good because I am fallible. God is infallible. I may tell you something. I may forget. You know what? I've even told lies before. Have you? Our word is not good. Our word should be good as those that have been bought by the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God says, I'm going to give you an heir. And there's going to be great things that come out of that for the plan that God has for this world. Second point today, point B, Genesis 16, 1 through 16. So we've been to 15 and 17, now we got to go back to 16. Because what happened in the intervening time here is that God had promised an heir to Abram and Sarai, And time passed. And I believe if you look into the text, you'll find that about 9 years passed. Because before Isaac was born to Abram and Sarai, or Abraham and Sarah in that case, I believe Abraham was the age of 99, the Bible records. 9 years is a long time, isn't it? To young Jaden and Isaac, some of the other young folks back there, 9 years seems like eternity. To some of us that have been around a while, 9 years seems like yesterday. But let me tell you, when you're 90 years old, and in that range, 9 years is going to go quick. Because in case you haven't learned this yet, the older you get, the faster time moves. Amen? Genesis 16, 1 through 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. That was done in Middle Eastern marriages. God never endorsed it. He worked in spite of it. We won't go into that today. But the fact of the matter is this is what's happening here already. Abram and Sarai are beginning to say what? God's not going to what? He's not coming through. We're getting old. We're going to have to do what? Take measures into our own hands. And of course, you know my thing. Abram was the classic guy. When his wife told him to do something, he said, Oh, okay. Sounds good. What is that sign that used to be at the mansion? Happy wife, happy life. Verse 3, And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. By the way, things always sound good on the surface. But when we depart from faith in God and listening to His plans and the things He says He'll do, the results of it never turn out well. Sin will always make life more complicated. Does anyone have a complicated life today? You don't have to share that with me. I do. But if you involve sin in that complicated life, it becomes undoable. And I believe with all my heart many people are in that situation today. Keep it simple with Jesus. And he went in into Hagar. Younger folks, someone can explain that to you. And guess what happened right away? When she saw what took place, that she was with child, Sarai's attitude changed about all this, didn't it? No doubt that Hagar was of childbearing age. She probably had features that made Sarai very upset because now her husband had someone that had better features than she had at night. You understand what we're talking? Things get complicated. Okay? Verse 5, And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. In other words, what? It's your fault! I told you to do it, but it's your fault. Any of you ever heard that before? Husbands or wives? Yeah. My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and thee. In other words, she didn't like Sarai a whole lot either. Because now she thought, I'm carrying the heir to Abram. I need to be the top dog on the log. Sarai is not quite as important as she used to be. Isn't it interesting how Satan's forces get into the mix? But Abram said unto Sarai, verse 6, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand to do her as it pleaseth thee. And Sarai dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face. And how far was I going here? 16. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of waters in the wilderness, by the fountain of the way to Shur. And he said to Hagar, Sarai's maid, Whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. The angel of the Lord there was likely, it was either a literal angel of the Lord, or it was Jesus Christ, incarnate, pre-incarnate, coming to visit her. And he makes a promise, right, from God. You're going to have a great nation too in this. But it's not going to be the same as the nation that God promised to the true descendant or heir of Abram and Sarai. By the way, who is that descendant? Isaac. And we're going to hear about that in a minute. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Ishmael means God hears. Now take note of this in verse 12, because there's some prophetic things that are very important about Ishmael that God told his mother. He will be a wild man. The literal translation from the Hebrew means, and I'll be cautious for tender ears, he will be a wild donkey of a man. Does anyone need further translation? Okay. And notice this, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Ishmael is the father of the Arabs. And the people of the Middle East that have gotten taken by the God of the Bible, and in particular, the situation here where a child that was born that was not the firstborn received the heirship of who should have been granted to the firstborn. But understand, it was an illegitimate thing. It was never endorsed by God. And God cannot endorse sin, but even in spite of it, he was going to make a nation and has made a nation out of Ishmael's descendants. Now, through 16. 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Berea. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Isaac was 86 years old when Hagar gave birth Ishmael to Abraham. He was 86 years old. Here's your point B. Abram and Sarai tried to circumvent God's plan. And let me just say this. In every case from the Garden of Eden on, Satan has tried to block the cross. That is his goal. And from the time we live, looking back, he's trying to block you from the cross today if you've denied the cross of Calvary. He's trying to block the work of Jesus Christ. And you see, Jesus was going to come in this line that came from the legitimate line of Abram and Sarah's and Sarai's child, Isaac. But Satan tried to usurp that in what took place there when he got into the hearts of Abram and Sarai to do what they did to get out of the promise that God had given them. And you know what? Satan loves hard feelings. If you're here today with an axe to grind about someone or something, Satan will use that and he will tear things up because of it. There's the basis and there's more coming. But anyway, he used it to open a door and to Satan's use of the we got took syndrome through Ishmael. He and his descendants are wild people bent on destruction. And yet I have to say this, God still loves them today. But that's his background. Never forget that. Point C. Here it is. God confirms Abram's legitimate heir, Isaac, will come through Sarah's and his covenant, will come through Sarai, and his covenant will be through him. God confirms Abram's legitimate heir, Isaac, will come through Sarai, and his covenant will be through him. Genesis 17, 1 through 21. Genesis 17, 1 through 21. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect or complete. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now here we understood that he told Hagar that Ishmael would have a significant following of people, a great nation. But here he says, Abram, you are going to be the father of many nations. In other words, Abram was the prototype for people who live by faith, and therefore came under the covenant of God. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. There was a change there, you see, and God showed it in the name. He did the same thing for Sarai. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. By the way, if you have been bought by the blood of the Lamb here, there, the book of Revelation records that there is a new name written down for every one of us in heaven. We don't know what that name is on this side of eternity, but our identities are changed when we come under, by faith, a personal walk with the God of the Bible. But notice this in verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and will make make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for a everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land, here we go again, wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now we want to go through 21, correct? And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, or given an identity in the God of the Bible. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it should be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you, a reminder. I don't need to get graphic about that either. But Abraham was reminded, and all the children of Israel that were male, of this on a regular basis. Enough said. They shall be circumcised, every one of you, every man child in your generation, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant, a reminder. And he goes on here then through 21. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abram fell upon his face and laughed. Are you kidding me, God? I'm 99 years old. That's been over for a long time. Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Abram knew math, by the way, or Abraham at this point. He said, I'll be 100 years old before this child is born. And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, have a child or bear? And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Abraham knew that this situation of the illegitimate child that was Ishmael was not a good situation. And as I said earlier, the sin has consequences, and it complicates things that go on. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. By the way, Isaac means laughter. We have a grandson named Isaac, and I say, I laugh at you all the time. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. There it is, folks. There's a new heir that is going to supersede, a legitimate heir that is going to supersede Ishmael. And this is why he got took, or why there were feelings about that. Now let's explore that further. 17:20, I always read, but notice there's where it came down. Ishmael's going to be given a lot, but he does not have my what? Covenant blessing. So that's D. Ishmael also will have a great nation. That brings us to the last point of this first point. point E. And here's what point E tells us, that conflict arises between Sarah and Hagar over Ishmael and Isaac. And we got took, gets reinforced, and started even further. Conflict over half-brothers, over the heirship. Not heirship like A-I-R, but H-E-I-R, ship. And so let's look today at 21, 9 through 21. Genesis 21, 9 through 21. Again, you need to look at the ensuing text that goes in there. Verse 9 of Genesis 21, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking." By the way, who was he mocking? And about how much difference was there in age? 86, 99, 13, 14 years, give or take, right? You got this big oaf making fun of little Isaac, 14 years older. Mothers, how does that go down with you? Like I said, when we go apart from God's will, things get very complicated. Where did I leave? Oh, verse 10. "Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman, this slave girl, shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." What do you suppose is going to happen? "And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." But let me tell you, Sarah is going to hold sway here. "And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." So he reconfirms that again. Isaac's the heir. "And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed." God never breaks his promises. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat down over against him a good day, against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept." Mothers, if you were in this situation today, would you have a feeling that you got took? What do you think about that? If you were this son in this case, who was Ishmael. By the way, Ishmael was innocent in all this, wasn't he? He was a product of what his parents did in their sin. But you know what? When you come under this type of a thing and you've been cast out of your home and you see your mother treated in this manner and so on and so forth, you begin to get a little bit what? Upset too. And you begin to say, you know something? I've been taken here. And I'm not very happy about that. Well, God goes on here through verse 21. He says in 18, "Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled a bottle of water and gave the lad to drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt." Isn't that interesting? The Egyptians were nominal unbelievers. So Mama here says, I'll give you someone that's just like me. And we'll make this a real hodgepodge. But you know what? We stop here at this point and we say, God, why would you allow this to go on? Why would you make a great nation out of this illegitimate son? And that's a good, valid question. But the answer to that question is because God in his providential will and plan had a reason for Ishmael and his descendants to exist. And folks, to this day, that plan has not been fulfilled because Ishmael and his descendants are placed there to bring Israel back to their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, that is the plan that God is working when you look top down at what all is going on through the Arabs and the other things that I'm going to tell you in this message. God has his ways. But here's point E. Conflict arises. I already gave you that, didn't I? Conflict arises between Sarah and Hagar over Ishmael and Isaac. And we got took, get started. Conflict over half-brothers, heirship. Chapter 17, 19 through 21 reveals that. And again, the God of the Bible chose Isaac, and it caused the opposite side to think they were not treated properly. Brings us to the second point real quick, and then we got to be done. Ishmael, and we'll come back next week to Esau and see how this all fits together. Now, this is the stuff you really want to write down, too. Ishmael becomes the father of we got took, disenfranchised. Ishmael becomes the father, in quotes, of the we got took, disenfranchised. First of all, I already told you, Ishmael is the direct originator of the Ishmaelites, and you might remember them. They were the group that came through. They were always enemies of God's people or had a way, but yet God used them. And you remember the Ishmaelites, which were named after Ishmael, were the ones that came through with a caravan and took Joseph out of the pit that his brothers put him in and took him into Egypt. But in the end, Joseph did what? He saved God's people. Even they had to go through 430 years of bondage before they got back out into the land of Canaan and crossed the Red Sea. It's called the Exodus. But folks, the Arabs and their progenitors are the dwellers of that region, and they are the tribes. And Ishmael is the founder of the Arabs. And I want to tell you this under point B, that Ishmael also has ties to what we know today as modern-day Islam. Here's the ties in particular, and I'm going to be preaching more about Islam in the upcoming weeks as the Spirit leads. But Hagar and Ishmael today, the lore, at least in Islam, is that they are both buried in a place called Mecca, which is in Saudi Arabia, which is the highest holy place of Islam. They're buried in the Kaaba. Some of you ever heard that term? It's a cube-shaped center for worship that is in Islam's most important mosque or worship center called the Masjid al-Haram. This stuff is used by Satan, and Islam is his agent in at least part of the conflict that is going on in our world today that centers around Israel, but not only Israel, but biblical Christianity. Because as I told you earlier, Satan's devices are to block the cross. From whatever place you're at in history, whether it was before the cross, pre-cross, or post-cross, he's going to try to thwart the cross. Islam is involved and will be involved in the end times with other world religions, including pseudo-Christianity. I hope no one here in this building today is a pseudo-Christian. We are biblical Christians. There's a difference between the two. And you better know the difference. I stood up in a meeting this week in Muscatine where there was a question and answer session. And I said that very thing. I said, Christian is a very loosely defined term. But to me, the Bible defines who a Christian is. And I can't go into every detail this morning, but a Christian is one who by faith has acknowledged their sin and gone to the Savior for the forgiveness of that sin, which is the only place we can go to be brought back into a personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins, bled, shed his blood on Calvary, and rose again the third day. And the rest of what the Bible says. By the way, you know who's in the lineage of Hagar and Ishmael? Muhammad. The key figure in Islam. By the way, Islam, and I believe I'm correct on this, their beginnings, and I have this written here, and I can't remember it right at the moment. Yes, I have it. Their real origins and the development of the Quran, which again I believe is a perversion of God's Word, the Bible, date back to 1615. Let me tell you, God's Word long before predates any of this. But the fact of the matter, even when we hear about Kaaba, be suspect about all those things. Because I'm going to tell you something else this morning, and it may make someone mad. But Freemasonry has ties into this very same thing. There's the Kaaba Shrine. You start to look around a little bit, folks. This is powerful stuff used of Satan. Point C. Ishmael's people hate Abraham's descendants through Isaac and later Jacob, his son, and the deal that we're going to talk about next time, Israel, and Christians who recognize the God of Abraham in the form today of Jesus Christ, who came for all people out of love because they got took. And centuries upon centuries, this has been passed down. We've been taken by the Jews, and now God's program for today, the Christians. The land we got taken by and the blessings of God, even though the Arabs have made a lot of money off oil over the years. What God told them was the truth too. They're a powerful group of folks. But they're not over it, folks. Maybe someone today is not over the we got took syndrome in your life or in mine. But the only way is through Christ that there can be peace and forgiveness. You know, the message of all this is also different too as well. And I did have a chance to address one of the imams from Cedar Rapids here in town one day. And I asked him what the basis of Islam was. I said, Christianity, biblical Christianity is love. He did not give me a direct answer. Because the message of the perverted Quran and Islam is hate. And they hate God's people, the God of the Bible's people. Because it all goes back to we got took. As I said, next week we'll look at the last part of this, the connection with Esau, because it fits right into this, to the we got took syndrome. But point D, Ishmael went on to marry enemies of God's people that factor into the future of the nation he was to become, and that God is using to bring Israel and Gentiles to himself by opening the eyes that are blind. Folks, this is a conspiracy by Satan that goes back to those days today. Be aware. Now the conclusion. I know I'm a little late. We'll hear more about this. But folks, to bring this back today, to let the rubber meet the road, it is possible and likely that one or more may be present today that have been on the side of we got took and something in your life. Sometimes this happens by our own choices. I want to remind us of that. And sometimes by factors beyond our control. But if we harbor and allow Satan and hatred to rule, it brings on destruction, including possibly eternal destruction. Hell is going to be full of people, folks, that said, I got took, and because of it, I'm bitter. Some of you are probably wondering, why did you have Doug read the verses that you did today? Because now do you get the connection? Vengeance is the Lord's. Bitterness has no place in the life of the believer. I'm going to reference this because it doesn't have to. Jesus will free you of that. Don't turn out like Islam, a group of people that are haters. But be transformed by God into a people of lovers for Jesus' sake and forgivers. Ephesians 4:32. Hebrews 12:15 says this. By the way, the we got took bitterness in our life is transformed by Christ's sufficiency to forgive you of the ones who you have took also. Because it goes both ways. There may be people that feel or have legitimately been wronged by you or me. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. This whole thing that took place with Ishmael and Hagar and Abraham and Sarah and the whole thing that's happened after it has defiled millions, probably billions of people through time. And let me tell you, folks, it will be a factor in our modern day life. This thing is not over. But one day it will be. But it can be over for you and I today. Even about that conflict or the conflict you have in your life where you got took or someone you took someone else. And they have those feelings. And let me just say, folks, it's better to get rid of that sooner than later. Now back to my notes. I need to forget the notes and just come up here and speak. But he warns us in 12:15, Hebrews, this stuff is dangerous stuff. The root of we got took bitterness can spring up and bring on a chain of destruction that can last centuries and even eternally. But Jesus will not take you. But he will take you. You understand? A little play on words there. He will take you where you are at, and he will make you able to overcome the we got took in your life. Allow Jesus to change your course of history today. He is waiting and calling yet today. We'll have a moment as we sing for a response. If you need more information, I can give you some. But Jesus will help you. And you can walk out of this building today a free person in Jesus Christ. You can let it go before what happens here. Remember the Hatfields and the McCoys? I'm not a gambling man, but I'll wager. I won't say bet here this morning. I'll wager there's stuff in these pews this morning and in my life that we could dredge up and Satan would use today and say, you know, you got took. I'm not going to get over this. But Jesus offers freedom today. And he offers the solution even to Islam today, and it's through his son, Jesus Christ. The axe grinders are not going to win. But they can sure make the way tough. How will you respond today? I'm done. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 694. Never forget this today. Let's stand if we're able. What Jesus has done for us. He gave it all. By the way, I had that in my notes too. I think this is the miraculous thing about Jesus. I don't think when he went to the cross, I know it from the base of Scripture, he didn't feel that he got took. Because he went for us how? Willingly. But he did get taken for us. But he'll still take us today. And that's where the solution is. You respond to the Lord as he says. We'll sing the first stanza of this, 694, and we'll be dismissed. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given to me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Makes us think, doesn't it? He gave it all. We don't have to feel gotten taken anymore. We can feel that we were taken by Jesus in the right way. And he bore those things for us in our place on the cross of Calvary. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. If you have to leave, I greet you for the afternoon. When our meeting's over, I'll greet the rest of us that are left. This will be a very brief meeting. Father, again, may you drive this point home today about getting took and the harm and the way Satan uses that in our world. And it's real stuff, Lord, not only just in our lives, but in what's going on in our world today. The wars, the strife. And Lord, when we throw Esau into this mix and his descendants too, we'll see this very plainly. But I pray today, Lord, this root of bitterness will be removed from anyone in this room, that they'll kneel before your throne today and that they'll cast their cares upon you because you care for us. And Lord, if there's one in this room today that does not have a personal walk with you, never has yielded to the fact that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and that you are the only sufficient Savior that loves us so dearly. I pray they'll run to you today, Lord, that you'll call them, and that the connection can be made today, and the bitterness can end, and the joy that comes from a walk with you will prevail in the lives to come. Now, I just pray you'll bless and keep the congregation. Superintend, I pray, Lord, over this business meeting to follow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a good day in the Lord.